Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 24th of June, 2026, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we are in a critical passage in 2 Corinthians 10. The fact that every single one of you, all of us, as church age believers, we're in a war. We're in a war. And the only way you can be victorious in this war is by utilizing the grace and power of God. Not your human ability, not your human talents, not your human power. There's only one way you can be victorious in this war, and that's the grace and power of God. We are all in a war. And the enemy is the ruler of planet Earth, Satan himself, and he has strategies to make all of you casualties, every one of you a casualty. And you have a choice. You can be from your own free will, you can make bad decisions, and wind up a casualty in the angelic conflict. Or you can operate by the grace and power of God and be victorious in this great spiritual war. So in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Before we get started, we have a couple of updates. From the first of all, the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center, last week, June 17th report. Hello, prayer warriors. Daria, say. Las Ventanas started off with three ladies. One of them was a new gal named Jeannie. And then they informed me that Donna had passed away. Class was the last half of lesson number 10 in Psalm 23. I started by reading the purple gospel book and then opening in prayer. It was a great class. regarding the principle that logistical grace keeps the believer alive in the middle of the devil's world. That God provides everything the believer needs to preserve their life, and nothing can remove them from this earth until God says, come home. They were nodding in agreement and smiling with that tremendous truth. Pastor also taught the six categories of logistical grace support. And we had many wonderful Bible verses to look up, including Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches. And also Ephesians 1:3. Worthy of praise and glorification, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then they laughed when they heard Pastor say he was not going to teach the famous not to worry passage until Harlan was here. Well, Harlan and Joy Dotson were members of, they're still members of our congregation. It's just that they're not here physically. They're in Texas. And I miss Harlan and Joy a lot. They are two of the great winner believers, and they're part of our congregation. Our congregation is a lot more than the city of Las Vegas. It's all over the country, and they listen to our classes every single time, usually probably within minutes after it's taught here. Harlan Dotson, well, I called Joy, his wife, plus H, and I called Harlan minus H. But Harlan always had this statement, not to worry. God is in charge. He's holding your hand. Not to worry. Worry, when you worry about anything, you have flunked the test. You're commanded not to worry about anything. Thank you for all of your prayers, Daria. And then Jerry Cahoon, update on the Valencia Senior Living Center last week, June 18th report. Did I say spectacular? Oh, yeah, that was last week. This week was spectacular times two. Then there were three. We keep increasing one at a time. In about 10 years, you'll have quite a class there. Bob, Charlie, and Greg. I again arrived early and met Greg at the entrance, and he asked me to push him into the class in his wheelchair. We got to our room, and there were Bob and Charlie. Three. We prayed and then got into the second half of lesson four. Pastor was teaching about blessing in time. And great spiritual blessings along with temporal blessings of success and wealth, promotion and prosperity. No matter how great these blessings are, they are only a shadow of something far, far greater in heaven. As we develop our virtue love, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, we realize more and more this earth is not our home, and our real home is in heaven. They all said thank you for the class and look forward to next week. Thank you for your prayers for Valencia MP3 class and for Bob and Charlie and Greg. Jerry Cahoon. All right. Well, this is one of the most critical passages that any member of the royal family of God can learn and know and metabolize and nail this down. And we're in a war. It's a spiritual war. It's the angelic conflict. And Satan has all these strategies. Initially, this war was attacked at the line. In the Old Testament, it was attack on the line of Christ. And then with the first advent, it was an attack on Jesus Christ himself. But now the Lord Jesus Christ is resurrected, ascended, and seated at the right hand of God the Father in the place of honor. And now there is the calling out in the church age of the body of Christ, the royal family of God. And so now Satan shifted his strategy. He can't attack Christ. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now the attack is on the body of Christ. Every member of the royal family of God in the church age. You're the target. Every one of you, you're the target. And he has strategies to make you a casualty in this spiritual war. But God has provided everything for you, his grace and his power, to be victorious in this spiritual war. And that's what we have here in this paragraph. So let's look at the corrected translation of verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, that is, live our life in a human body with its limitations, we absolutely do not fight this spiritual war according to the flesh, the sin nature. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare, the angelic conflict, absolutely are not human weapons, but by the agency of the power of God for the purpose of the destruction of Satan's fortifications. That's as far as we have gone so far. One of the key words in verse 4 is hoplon. And hoplon literally means weapon. And we have it in the plural. And that tells us God has provided for each one of us, the church age believer, with many spiritual weapons in this angelic conflict. Hoplon comes from the verb hoplizo, which means to equip a soldier, to arm a soldier with weapons. In the angelic conflict, we do not use human weapons. We don't use human talent or human ability or human power. You will be a casualty if you do. We have been provided by the grace of God spiritual weapons, divine power. Again, for the weapons of our warfare, the angelic conflict, absolutely are not human weapons. The angelic conflict is a spiritual war, and therefore demands the use of spiritual weapons. Human weapons are only effective in human warfare. If we are going to be victorious in the angelic conflict, we must use the spiritual weapons that God has provided for us. We must use the grace and power of God. God has provided many spiritual weapons for the believer in the angelic conflict. Again, for the weapons of our warfare absolutely are not human weapons. Another key word in verse 4 is okuroma. Okuroma means stronghold or fortress or a fortified position. The devil's fortification system is in view in this verse. The devil's fortification system can resist any attack of human weapons, human ability, human talent, human power, human viewpoint. But God has provided in grace spiritual weapons to demolish the cosmic defenses of Satan. We need spiritual weapons for this spiritual war. In the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, we need the grace and power of God. These spiritual weapons are supplied by God through grace perspicacity. We'll be looking at that in a little more detail later on. They are supplied by the consistent and faithful assembling in a sound doctrinal teaching church and learning and believing the aletheia, the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. For the weapons of our warfare absolutely are not human weapons, but by the agency of the power of God for the purpose of the destruction of Satan's fortifications. Now the fortified systems of Satan are described in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. King James says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Key word here, we have the present active participle of kathaireo. And kathaireo is a compound word made up of the preposition kata, which means down, and ireo, which means to take. So literally, kathaireo means to take down, to bring down. Kathaireo was used of the tearing down of buildings. Kathaireo is also a military term that meant to assault fortifications, to destroy fortifications, to demolish fortifications, to conquer a fortification. Figuratively, kathaireo is used in our verse to assault and demolish the plural of the noun logismos. And logismos means systems of thought. Systems of thought or reasoning power. These are cosmic systems of thought. These cosmic systems of thought include rationalism. It includes self-justification. You justify living your life by the lust patterns of the sin nature. You justify the bad decisions that you are making in your life. It includes defense mechanisms. It includes denial. You deny the bad decisions that you are making. It includes sublimation, where you go out and get drunk or use drugs to try to solve your problems. However, alcohol and drugs are not problem-solving devices. It includes subjectivity. It includes human viewpoint thinking. All of these are logismoi. Cosmic systems of thought. So we have, in our corrected translation, assaulting and demolishing cosmic systems of thought. Make sure you get that right. Assaulting and demolishing cosmic systems of thought. That's where we stopped last time, so let's pick it up from there. Then we have the conjunction chi, which is the connective chi, you correctly translated and. And then following that, we have the adjective pos. P-A-S, pos. And pas means every or each, including everything belonging to the class or the category designated by the noun hupsoma. Hupsoma looks like that, H-U-P-S, long O-M-A. Hupsoma. So, pas includes everything belonging to the class or category designated by the noun hupsoma. And hupsoma means every kind of arrogant obstacle. It means all categories of arrogance and pride. Every category of arrogance. That's hupsoma. Hupsoma means the mental attitude sin of arrogance, the obstacles of arrogance. It includes Satan's cosmic system, cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred, and satanic doctrine. So, corrected translation, assaulting and demolishing cosmic systems of thought, interlocking systems of arrogance, and every obstacle of arrogance. And then we have the verb epeiro. Epeiro. E-P-A-I-R, long O, epeiro. A couple of things. Literally, one, epeiro means to lift up or to hold up or to elevate. To lift up. To hold up, to elevate. Two, figuratively, epeiro means to rise up, to offer resistance, to be in opposition against someone or something. To be in opposition against someone or something. And then we have point three, kata tes noseos tu theou, against the knowledge of God. Against the knowledge of God. So the corrected translation sounds like this. Assaulting and demolishing cosmic systems of thought, and every obstacle of arrogance raised up in opposition against the knowledge of God. Make sure you get that down. Assaulting and demolishing cosmic systems of thought, and every obstacle of arrogance raised up in opposition against the knowledge of God. All right. One, every church age believer is in the spiritual war of the angelic conflict, because Satan's attack now is on the body of Christ. For the first time in all of human history, never happened in the Old Testament that Satan attacked every believer, only in this dispensation. We're living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, because now in the Old Testament the attack was on the line of Christ and then on Christ himself at the first advent. Following the resurrection, ascension, and session, now the attack is on the body of Christ. For the first time in human history, every church age believer is the target in this war in the angelic conflict. Two, this is a spiritual war. So you must take the offensive with spiritual weapons. This is a spiritual war, so you must take the offensive with spiritual weapons to demolish satanic systems of thought, logismos. So this is a spiritual war, so you must take the offensive with spiritual weapons to demolish satanic systems of thought, logismos. And the Apostle Paul explained and defined this in very clearly in Ephesians chapter 6. So turn over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in, now listen, His mighty power. His mighty power. God's power. Put on the full armor of God. And this goes on in your soul. On your body, in your soul, the armor of God. So that you can take your stand against the devil's strategies. He has lots of strategies to make you a casualty. For our war is not against flesh and blood, but against ruling demons, against demons in authority, against the powers of this dark world, world-ruling demons, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on, command, put on the full armor of God. If you don't fulfill this mandate, you will be a casualty in the angelic conflict. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of aletheia. All right. Aletheia. A-L long E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. Aletheia is the Greek word for absolute truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the aletheia. Jesus Christ said, I am absolute truth. And no one comes to heaven where the Father is apart from faith in me. And then he said in his prayer to the Father, sanctify them by means of your aletheia. Absolute truth of the Word of God. So Jesus Christ is absolute truth. The Word of God is absolute truth. So the first thing here, and so critical, of the armor of God, you must have, stand firm with the belt of aletheia. Absolute truth. Buckled around your waist. Well, remember, this doesn't go on your body. It goes in your soul. You need this belt in here, in your heart. The aletheia, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. That's first. And that means you need to find a sound doctrinal teaching church and assemble consistently and faithfully to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and get maximum aletheia in your heart. That's first. The power of God. The Word of God is alive and what? Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and joints and the marrow. And it's a critic of the thoughts and intents of your heart. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is aletheia, absolute truth. You must have that powerful Word of God in your heart. The belt, this armor of God starts out with the belt of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. When you have that, you advance to spiritual maturity, and that's the next, with the breastplate of righteousness, grace righteousness. When you have aletheia, maximum aletheia in your heart, you advance to spiritual maturity and grace righteousness. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, reconciliation, and in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, the faith rest life, with which you can extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. You must live the spiritual life by the power of the filling of the Spirit of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema, not the Logos, the Rhema, the communicated Word of God. There's the reality of what we're facing. Right now, in America, Satan's winning. Satan's winning in America. He's winning all over the world. There are most Christians today are casualties in this spiritual war. No armor of God on in their heart, in their soul. And they make themselves casualties by their own bad decisions. So this is a spiritual war. So you must take the offensive with spiritual weapons to demolish satanic systems of thought, logismos. Point 3. The great counterattack of Satan occurs in stage 3 of grace perspicacity. The great counterattack of Satan occurs in stage 3 of grace perspicacity. This is grace perspicacity. There are 4 stages in grace perspicacity. This is stage 1. Stage 1, a man with the gift of pastor teacher who is prepared for the ministry teaches the Word of God eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. He teaches the Logos, the Word of God. And then stage 2 brings in God the Holy Spirit. You must be filled with the Spirit. The pastor teacher is teaching the Word of God eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. You assemble filled with the Spirit, and then God the Holy Spirit takes that Logos taught by the pastor and teaches it to your human spirit where it becomes pneumaticos. Spiritual phenomena. That's stage 2. And then it goes down to the nous, the mind. This is stage 3. And here you comprehend that spiritual phenomena. And if you're here in the church, and I've had people in this church, Pastor Olson, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're teaching. I understand that. But Pastor Olson, I don't believe it. Okay, well, you're free to believe, you're free to reject. You're free to believe in Christ, you're free to reject Christ. You're free to believe in the Word of God, you're free to reject the Word of God. But here's where Satan makes his big attack, right here. You comprehend the issue, but now you have to believe it. You have a volition, you have a free will. You have to believe it. If you say no, negative volition, and reject it, that's all the farther the Word of God goes. Doesn't go any farther than that. And there's no spiritual growth. If that's all the, as far as the Word of God goes, all you have is gnosis. But the grace perspicacity has a target. And the target of grace perspicacity is stage 4. The cardia, the heart, and the heart is up here. The target for the Word of God is for it to get to your cardia. In the stage 3, in the mind, is gnosis. When you believe it, positive volition, believe it, now it's in the heart. Now it's epinosis, completed knowledge, full knowledge. Only Bible doctrine here. This is the only time you can apply the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, skillfully and accurately to your life, to the angelic conflict, to the war that you are in. You're in a war. It's only when the aletheia is in your heart that you can apply that aletheia to the war that you are in. And Satan doesn't sleep 24/7. He never sleeps. He's trying to make you a casualty. But you have a choice. You have a choice, first of all, not even to seek out a sound Bible teaching church, not to assemble consistently and faithfully, or when you assemble, not to be in fellowship with God, but out of fellowship with God. But when, if it does get down here to stage 3, gnosis in the mind, this is where Satan really attacks, right here. And many times, believers, they don't believe the aletheia of the Word of God that was taught. So they don't have any epinosis doctrine. They don't have any completed knowledge, full knowledge. They can't apply aletheia to the spiritual war they're in. And they become casualties in this war. Four. Stage 3 of grace perspicacity is when you have gnosis doctrine in the nous, the mind, the left lobe of the soul. Stage 3 of grace perspicacity is when you have gnosis doctrine in the nous, the mind, the left lobe of the soul. 5. But gnosis doctrine cannot be applied skillfully and accurately to your life, to the spiritual war that you're finding yourself in. It can't be applied skillfully and accurately to this spiritual war until you believe it. Positive volition, faith. You must believe it. So gnosis doctrine cannot be applied skillfully and accurately to this spiritual war of the angelic conflict until you believe it. 6. At the point of positive volition, faith, gnosis doctrine in the mind, the nous, becomes epinosis doctrine in the heart, the right lobe of the soul. That's the target in grace perspicacity. The target is for the Word of God to get to your heart. You believe it. Now it's in your heart. 7. Epinosis doctrine is complete knowledge, full knowledge, that then is applied skillfully and accurately to your life, to the spiritual war that we find ourselves in, the angelic conflict. Epinosis doctrine is complete knowledge, full knowledge, that is applied skillfully and accurately to your life, to the spiritual war that we find ourselves in, the angelic conflict. Now, in the next phrase, we have the MO of how you stave off Satan's counterattack and bringing into captivity every thought, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is the conjunction chi plus the present active participle of eik malo tizo, plus the accusative singular of pos with the accusative singular of noema, plus the prepositional phrase ace, plus the accusative of hoop akoe with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of Christos with the definite article. The conjunction chi, again, is connective chi. You correctly translated and. And then, eik malo tizo. AICHMALLONGOTIZLONGO. Eik malo tizo. One, eik malo tizo is a military term. And it means to capture in war. To capture in war. Two, eik malo tizo means to make captive. To make captive of, to make a prisoner of. Three, to stave off Satan's counteroffensive, we must make a prisoner of pon noema. To stave off Satan's counteroffensive, we must make a prisoner of pon noema. This is the accusative of pos, pon, P-A-N, and then N. O long E M A pon noema. And pon noema, pon means every, noema thought. Every thought, every system of thought. Four, when you make a prisoner of every thought, you have staved off Satan's counterattack. You see, this great war goes on right in here, goes on right in your soul. The greatest battleground of this war is right in here. When you make a prisoner of every thought, you have staved off Satan's counterattack. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The preposition ace plus the accusative. Well, Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 228, tells us that in our verse, ace plus the accusative indicates the goal, the objective. The objective or goal is to make a prisoner of every thought, tain hupakoein to Christu. Hupakoe looks like this. H-U-P-A-K-O long E. Hupakoe. One, hupakoe is the noun that comes from the verb hupakuo. It's the noun that comes from the verb hupakuo. Hupakuo looks like this. That's H-U-P-A-K-O-U, long O. Hupakuo. So hupakoe is the noun that comes from the verb hupakuo. Two, hupakuo is a compound word made up of the preposition hupa, which means under, and akuo, which means to hear. Compound word made up of the preposition hupa, which means under, and akuo, which means to hear. To listen. Three. So literally, hupakuo means to listen under authority. To listen under authority. To hear under authority. That's hupakuo. To listen under authority, to hear under authority. Four. Hupakuo therefore means to obey that authority, to follow that authority, to be subordinate to that authority. Hupakuo therefore means to obey that authority, to follow that authority, to be subordinate to that authority. Five. Therefore, the noun hupakoe means obedience. Obedience. And then we have the genitive singular of Christos. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. Christos. That's Christ. That's the equivalent of Mashiach, the Messiah. So this Christos and the genitive case, this is, now make sure you see it, the objective genitive. Objective genitive. And therefore, this is obedience to Christ. Christos is in the objective genitive case. Obedience to Christ. Seven. This is accomplished by getting a maximum amount of aletheia. Now, what is Jesus Christ? He said, I am the way and the aletheia. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is apart from faith in me. Jesus said, I am aletheia. I am the truth. And that means that the mind of Christ is absolute truth. Jesus Christ is absolute truth. The mind of Christ is absolute truth. And the mind of Christ, well, the Word of God is also called the mind of Christ and the voice of the Spirit. So, this is accomplished by getting a maximum amount of aletheia, the mind of Christ, the absolute truth of the Word of God, into your heart. This is accomplished by getting a maximum amount of aletheia, the mind of Christ, the absolute truth of the Word of God, into your heart. Eight. And that is stage four of grace perspicacity. That's the objective. That's the target for the aletheia, the Word of God, to get it into your cardia. Nine. This is maximum epinosis doctrine in your heart. Now you have the mind of Christ in your heart. You're in a spiritual warfare. We're in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. But not to worry. There, see, I use for Harlan. He'll be listening to this and he'll get a big kick out of it. We're in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. I expect all of you to have maximum amount of the mind of Christ. The absolute truth of the mind of Christ in your heart. You have that, you will be able to apply that skillfully and accurately to the war, the spiritual war that you are all in. You're all in this war. And you will be victorious in this war. Here's the key. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. I love this paragraph. This explains why there's so many casualties among believers today. It also explains the tremendous winners who are victorious in this spiritual war. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we live our life in a human body with its limitations. We absolutely do not fight this spiritual war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, the angelic conflict, absolutely are not human weapons, but by the agency of the power of God, for the purpose of the destruction of Satan's fortifications. Verse 5, assaulting and demolishing cosmic systems of thought and every obstacle of arrogance raised up in opposition against the knowledge of God, and making a prisoner of every thought, every system of thought, for the goal, for the objective of obedience to Christ. The mind of Christ, aletheia. All right. Well, that brings us to a very important doctrine. The doctrine of mental attitude. The doctrine of mental attitude. Point one is definition and description. One, mental attitude is the function of human thought. Your mental attitude is what you think at any given time. It's the function of human thought. Your mental attitude is what you think at any given time. Two, thinking is the battle that takes place on the battlefield of your soul. Thinking is the battle that takes place in the battlefield of your soul. Three, the life of every believer is in his mental attitude. The life of every believer is in his mental attitude. Four, the life of every believer is determined experientially by two principles. Determined experientially by two principles. First, what he thinks. And second, what he decides. You can make good decisions or you can make bad decisions. So the life of every believer is determined experientially by two principles. what he thinks and what he decides. And from your volition that God gave to you in creation, you can make good decisions or bad decisions. 5. Divine viewpoint, mental attitude, is part of the greatest delegation of divine power in all of human history. Divine viewpoint, mental attitude, is part of the greatest delegation of divine power in all of human history. What you think is more important than anything else. But far too many believers are struggling through life as mindless losers, full of emotion. What counts is the power of divine viewpoint, the power of aletheia in your heart, absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart, epinosis doctrine. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Starting at verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart. You see, you got two sets of eyes. A lot of you are all concerned about your physical eyes. They aren't the important ones. The important eyes are the eyes of your heart. Those are the important eyes. I pray that the eyes of your heart, not your physical eyes, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling? What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And, verse 19, what is the surpassing greatness of His power? What is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? And these are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Wow. What God is saying here is He has made His power available to you in the church age. The power that raised Christ from the dead, the omnipotence of God that raised Christ from the dead, resurrection of Christ, that power has been made available to us. The power of God. And that power of God is two parts, the power of the filling of the Spirit. See, we're the only dispensation in human history that when a church age believer places his faith in Christ, he is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. Never happened before in human history. This is the only time. At the moment of salvation in the church age, you are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. Why? To be a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, we're given a command. Keep on being filled, empowered. The word there, filled, is pleroo. It was used for wind that filled the sail of a ship and empowered it and moved it through the water. So he's saying there, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, keep on being living your life by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, been made available to us. This spiritual life that has been given to us can only be lived by supernatural power. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and the power of the Word of God in your heart. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So we have two systems of divine power made available to us. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, the power of Aletheia, the Word of God in our heart. So point five again, divine viewpoint, mental attitude is part of the greatest delegation of divine power in all of human history. The sad thing today is very few Christians are living by the power given to us. The power of the filling of the Spirit, the power of Aletheia in our heart. Very few. But for those few believers that are living their life by the grace and power of God, they will be victorious in this spiritual war. They will be victorious. They will honor God to the maximum. And that's why we are here. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.